First Peter chapter 4, it certainly is a joy to be saved. It's always good to get to praise the Lord and be encouraged in Him, and that's what the singing is all about. Amen? And I want the preaching to be as much for you today to help you and to help me and to instruct us and to give us some instruction in our life. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, let's begin to read in verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand, and be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You can be seated this morning. You pray God will help us now. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for just the singing this morning. And Lord, not only for the singing, but for the special singing. And Lord, I pray that it's helped folk and that it's brought glory to your name as we first sung about. And Lord, we do thank you for the Sunday school hour that we had. What a joy it was to be in your house and, Lord, to be around your people and fellowship with them today. But Lord, it's come time now for preaching, and we certainly need you. And need you to just guard our mind and our thoughts and to touch us and anoint us afresh. And Lord, just give us good liberty and that to be able to preach today what you've given us. And Lord, I pray this to be the message of the hour. I believe it really is. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help. Help that one that is lost to get saved. Help that one that needs strength and comfort, that they'll find it in you and your word today. And again, we just beg for you to come by. Lord, that we would leave out of here better than what we come in. Would you please help us today? Save that one that's near his tail. Save that one that's struggling. For all this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. When we look in the first part of 1 Peter chapter 4 right here, he talks about how that Christ has ceased from sin because he suffered for us. And he tells us to arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. And when you have to arm yourselves, that means you're going to have to battle some things. You don't arm yourselves unless there's a battle, unless there's going to be a fight. And so he says you need to think the same way that as Christ has suffered, he has ceased from sin. And so we need to do the same thing and have the same mind, likewise, with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He said that we should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And Brother Jeff, he began to deal with that in the book of Colossians chapter 3 this morning in Sunday school. He began to talk about how we're to mortify our flesh and to put off some things and got to the part where we were going to put on some things. And Peter talks about the past, how that just like the Gentiles and that living in the flesh and dealing with walking in lasciviousness and excess of wine and revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries. And he said that's the way they lived. And he said it's how we lived and all these things. But he said, and they think it's strange now. They think it's strange. They think it's strange that you don't run with them anymore. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you get saved and something changes inside of you, you're probably going to get, not probably, you should, you need to, and if you're truly saved, you will give up that old life. Amen. Ain't that right, church? I mean, you can't get saved and stay in the old life. You can't get saved and keep on doing what you were doing. Then you didn't repent of your sin. If you come and got saved, say it that way. If you don't change, there's something going to change inside of you. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. I know some things are tough. I know some things are hard. I know you have to work at some things, and we do have to work at some things. That's why he said we arm ourselves in the flesh. That's why he tells us what to put off and to put on in the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians. He tells us all those things. We have to do that. But notice what he said. He said, you used to run with them in excessive riot. He said, you used to do those things, but you don't do them anymore. And he said, and they speak evil of you now. Because you're trying to do good and do right, they speak evil of you. That just don't seem right, does it, today? But he said, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? And so they're going to be judged by the Lord. And he says, that's why the gospel was preached. He said, man may judge to the flesh, but God judges according, will live according to the Spirit of God. And he said, but this in verse 7, but I want to deal with 8, 9, and 10. He said, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And we preached on that last week about how the end is here. He said, Peter said, the end is at hand. And he said, that's how it is. And he said, therefore be sober and watch unto prayer. Be looking for the second coming. Be ready for the second coming. Make sure you're doing all that you can for the Lord. Be sober. Don't be caught up in this world. Be looking on those things that are above. But then he made this statement in verse 8. And above all things, above everything that I just read, above everything that I just talked about in this chapter, he said, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. And if I could preach for just a little while this morning, I want to preach having this thought. Now you pray for us, okay? You pray for us. I want to preach on showing grace. Showing grace. It's easy to receive grace, but sometimes it's a little hard to show grace. And he talks about right here, and above all things, have fervent charity. He talks about in verse 9, to have hospitality without grudging. And in verse 10, he talks about us being stewards of the manifold grace of God. And a steward is something, I'm getting ahead of myself, but a steward is somebody that is in a position and that working or running a household or a business for somebody else. And so God has given us this ability, if I can say it that way, to live for Him, to be His hands and His feet while in the body of Christ, while He's in heaven, and to be His mouthpiece out of His Word. And I think one of the things that me and you need to learn, if you've not learned it, is how to show grace. Now, you ought to be thankful today that grace was shown to you. I'm thankful every day that God's grace is ever evident. First of all, in salvation. I mean, His favor, His goodwill, His kindness, His unmerited favor. Whatever you want to call grace right there, out of those definitions. At one point, Webster said it was the application of Christ's righteousness to the sinner. That's grace this morning. Amen. And I'm thankful for grace. You know why? Because I did not deserve to get saved. There was nothing good in me that made me fit and that for heaven. There was not one good thing. I mean, the Bible said in Isaiah 64 that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That means the good stuff about us was not good enough to get us in, but because God wanted to. Do you realize that's what grace is? Mercy is God holding back His judgment and holding His hand out with grace and saying, I'm going to hold my judgment back and give you what you don't deserve, which is my love, my kindness, my joy, my peace, my everlasting comfort. Hey, that's what you can have in me. That's grace this morning. Ephesians 2 said, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Right. Me and you ought to be so excited this morning to have received grace. what was it he said in Romans? He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's all about grace. It's all about grace. I mean, somebody once said that, what was grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. And boy, there's a lot of truth to that. Amen. I'm telling you, but we've been shown grace, and it's by His grace that we live today. What was it that the Apostle Paul, I believe it is in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul said, because of all the revelations that I've got, to keep me from getting bigger than my britches.
That's right.
That's what he's saying. To keep me from getting to keep me from getting puffed up. He said there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet him. And that word buffet means to beat on. And he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So God, the Lord Jesus, told the Apostle Paul when he prayed and wanted that thing to depart from him, he said, my grace is sufficient. You know what that means? That means I'm not going to take it away, but I'm going to help you get through it. I'm going to help you make it through what's going on in your life. Let me ask you something this morning. How many of us can look back over life and say, had it not been for the Lord, had God not come by, had He not showed up, I'd have never made it through this. I'd have never made it through this funeral. I'd have never made it through this sickness. I'd have never made it through this despondency and depression. I'd have never made it. But because Jesus come by, because He helped, and because He strengthened, we made it through. Listen, he talks about in 1 Corinthians, is it 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Let me go over here and look, and let's see if it ain't it, if what I'm looking for. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful. Ain't that a wonderful thought? God is faithful. You better be glad you got a Savior that's faithful. Amen. Hey, listen, we may not be faithful, but He's faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He didn't say He'd take it away. He said He'd just make us a way to escape that we could bear and that up under the load this morning. That's God's grace. That's God's grace. What did the Apostle Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15 about grace? He said, for I am the least of the apostles and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul said, I've been able to accomplish what I've been able to accomplish, not because there's anything good about me, but because of Him. We make it through this life because of Him, but then we're able to work for Him and accomplish something for Him because of His grace.
Right.
It's all grace. My soul, I've been shown and given so much grace. How about you? I still look around sometimes and wonder how we got here and how I got here and how the church has got to where it's at and what we're able to accomplish in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of His glory. And I mean, it's all because of His grace. So, preacher, why do you think about it? Because I know a lot of men, a lot of preachers and pastors that are probably better men than I am. Not probably, I know they're better men than I am. And they've faced a whole lot more heartaches and trials and troubles and tribulation. And their church is not near as doing as well as this church is. If we're doing good, it's because of Him. Listen, I want you to understand that. And I look at this situation and I say, Lord, I know there's nothing good about me. I understand that. I'm kind of like, Brother Ralph, Lord, just don't let me mess this thing up. Let us keep going and doing what we need to do. It's all about grace. But you know, in God's grace, He does not overlook our sin. He overlooks our sin in grace of salvation. He does do that. As a matter of fact, He washes our sin away in the grace of salvation. Revelations 1 and 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And so he does do that. But when I talk about us showing grace, and by the way, I'm still in the introduction. Boy, I need that long runway, Jeremiah, to get this plane pulled off the ground. Amen. I'm not talking about overlooking sin. Although if you look down here in the text verse, he does say what? That for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And I'll deal with that here in a minute. And I'm not talking about having grace to give up what's right to simply get along with people. Because Jesus Christ does not do that either. He's not going to give grace just so that you can get through this life and go on and live how you want to and do what you want to. That's not what I'm talking about. And there are times that we've just got to make our stand for what's right. But this morning, I'm not going to deal with all that per se. But I want to deal with what the Apostle Peter said right here. And we'll deal with some things about what Paul said. And the very first thing he said, and above all things. So above it all, above what I've just read, above what I've told you about everything, he said, have fervent charity among yourselves. So he's talking about each other. I'm going to tell you, I believe sometimes that some church people can get along better with the world than they can with one another. And that's a sad statement. I mean, that is a sad statement to think that God's people can get along with the world better than they can with each other. And he says right here, and above all things, have fervent charity. You know what that word fervent means? It means hot and boiling. It means earnest and excited. He says have this kind of charity, and charity is more than love. A lot of people, when they go to the Bible, they'll change the word charity into love. If Jesus Christ wanted his word to say love there, it would say love. He knows how to spell love. You know how I know that? It's in the Bible. Amen. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm not going to change it. He said charity. You know what charity is? Charity is love in action. I mean, it is kindness, and it is benevolence, it is love, it is goodwill, it is the disposition of your heart to think on other people and do them good. It is that. It is all those things. But he talks about having fervent charity. So he says you should have a hot and earnest and an excited love in action one toward each other. Do we do that? You know what I find, and by the way, we're probably going to shout. I'm being facetious, by the way. Do you know what that means in my term right there? If y'all don't know what facetious means, I'm being a smart aleck. That's what that means. Okay? Y'all life, it's all right. Some of you look like you're still ready to go back to bed. I'll just tell you, you do. Maybe we ought to just come back tonight and try it all over again. No. Listen, he says above all, we ought to have that kind of love in action that is hot. That kind of love in action that is earnest. That kind of charity that makes us want to go do what we're supposed to do. Now take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, the Apostle Paul, he deals with about in chapter 12 how we get into the body of Christ, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, in verse 13. He talks about the body of Christ later on through that chapter. He talks about there should be no schism in verse 25 in the body. That is a division. He says, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So you know, as you care for yourself, you're to care for your neighbor in here. And as you care for one person in here, you're to care for another. I mean, I should care for you all the same. You know, there's only one person in here that I probably care for more than any other, and that's my wife. And it's set up that way. That's just the way it is. But as a body of Christ, he said, we should care for each other. And in verse 27, I want you to begin to read with me. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? You know, one of the problems that the church at Corinth had, they wanted those outward manifestation gifts. That's what they wanted. Just go back and read the whole book. But out of everything that Paul said right here, he talked about the gifts, the healings, the tongues, the diversities and governments and all that. But he comes down here in verse 31, and here's what I want to get to. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. He says covet earnestly to have the best gifts. So obviously those gifts are put in some kind of list and order. Some are better than others. Right? I mean, some are just better than others. But he said, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Take your Bible and then go chapter 13. Just go to the next chapter. He said, I'm going to show you something better than everything that I just told you. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I should remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, let me stop right there. Would we not call that charity in itself? Our definition of charity, is that not what it is? He said, it's more than just giving to somebody in need, you see. And that's what you got to get a hold of. He said, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So you see right here that charity is the biggest of all of them. Now, I'm talking about showing grace, unmerited favor. You know, there's sometimes, let me park right here before I read on about charity. Just let me stop right here. There's sometimes you're going to disagree with people, and that's fine that you can't get to an agreement. That's fine. You just learn to live. You know, so, you know, not everybody's going to agree with you. Do you know that? Not everybody's going to think you're right, and you're not going to think everybody else is right. Don't mean you got to fight about it. You're just going to disagree on some things. But you know, there sometimes people's going to be wrong. Now that's why I'm talking about showing grace about. See, it's one thing if you just disagree on a gray area, but it's another when we talk about showing grace. I'm talking about showing grace sometimes to people who really don't deserve it. That's what I'm talking about. Look in verse 4. He said, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And then the first part of verse 8, he said, charity never faileth. So one of the things in showing grace, if we look back at what Peter said, stay in 1 Corinthians 13, but he said, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. So when we have fervent charity, now notice the characteristics of charity. You know, you see the very first one, and this is the one that I struggle with the most, I think, sometimes. He said, long-suffering. He said, charity does what? Charity suffereth long. I'll never forget when my pastor defined that one time. We were talking about long suffering, and that's exactly what he said. It means to suffer long. If you're going to have long suffering, you're just going to have to deal with some things. You're going to have to suffer through some things. If you're going to be around some people, even in church, some people's attitude is rotten. I just don't know why it's rotten. Don't know why. Not everybody can be chipper like I am. Huh? Let everybody have a good day every day like you do. And by the way, you don't have a good day every day and I don't either. There's some days I need grace from people. I'm having a bad day. I mean, there's just some days I'm just having a bad day, and I just need a little grace. I probably don't deserve it. I've probably said something that I shouldn't have said. I've probably done something that I shouldn't have done. I'm just saying. Sometimes you just got to be long suffering. You know, you go over and you look in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. That is one of the fruits of the Spirit, long suffering. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. Long suffering. I mean, if you're going to be spiritual, I mean, we talk about being spiritual. Boy, we was in a spiritual meeting this morning at church. I understand that. I mean, God come by. I get all that. Or somebody will say they were real spiritual because they done this or that. I'm going to tell you how you know if somebody's spiritual or not. Do they line up with Galatians 5, 22 and 23? Are they bearing out that fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, the peace? I could care if somebody does shout. Let me go back to this right here. Go back to 1 Corinthians 10 and Paul, or 13, excuse me. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as sound and brass and tinkling cymbal. I don't care what somebody's got to say. I don't care how good they can preach. I don't care how good they can sing. If they ain't got no charity, they ain't no count. He said, if I've got the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge and do I have all faith that I can remove mountains, he said, I ain't got charity, I ain't got nothing. Charity involves long suffering. Long suffering, to suffer long. What else did he say? He said, charity is what? Kind. Kind. We're living in one of the worst times for people to be unkind. I mean, people's just unkind. I mean, as a matter of fact, they're just downright mean sometimes. And they're ugly, as my mama would say. But I mean, I'm talking about amongst us. I mean, what did Peter say? He said, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Inside here. I heard one preacher say this one time, and I thought, man, what a great truth it is. He says, at least we can come in here and learn how to deal with each other and then go out there and try to learn how to deal with the world. At least we know how to deal with it in here. We learn how to deal with it in here. Because we're all different. There's not one of us sitting in here thinks the same way most of the time. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. And he says, have charity among yourselves. And he said, that's long suffering and that's kindness. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, the Apostle Paul said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God was very kind to us. And he forgave us because of what Christ done. You know what? We ought to be willing to be kind to other people and forgive them. He said what? Charity envieth not, does not want what somebody else has. It's not going to change your mind how you're going to treat somebody by what they got or what you want out of the world. He talks about this on down through here, and I'm getting ahead of myself in verse 9, and I'm probably not going to get here today, or at least this morning. He said, use hospitality one to another without grudging. I watched, and we know what grudging means. It's to begrudge somebody because they got... I literally watched this happen. I watched this happen with three friends. One of them, they were all living in a manufactured home, and separate homes. Three families, three homes. And they were all living in manufactured homes. And one of them got to build a house. And you know what the other two done? They envied that thing. They got angry about that. Now these are all people that went to church together. And run together. Man, if you can do it. I'll be happy for you. I may be jealous of you, but I'll be happy for you. Amen. He said, it vaunteth not itself. You know that word vaunt means to make a vain display of one's worth or to boast. He said, charity never vaunts itself. It never boasts itself of anything. It's not puffed up. It's not prideful. Boy, you talk about having to work on some people sometimes. I'm going to tell you, when you read this verse right here and you really begin to see what it's talking about right here, how that it vaunts not itself, it is not puffed up, there's no pride there, it's all humbleness. Just stay with me. Doth not behave itself unseemly. That means indecent or not fit. Charity, when charity reigns in your life, you always act right. It'll help you act right toward other people. It'll help you think right toward other people. He says it seeketh not her own. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Do you know, charity is concerned about others. Right? Now, I'm talking about showing grace. One of the things to show grace, according to Peter, is that we have to have fervent charity. Just not charity, but fervent charity. That means we're excited to get to go do it. That means we're excited about getting to help somebody that may or may not deserve the help, but we're going to help them. I got to be careful. I'll edit this part out. I know a gentleman, he had the opportunity to show grace. Let me just put it this way. He had the opportunity to show grace, and he's a Christian. He'll tell you he's a Christian, but he also told me, he said it got away from him. And he had the opportunity to show it at the doctor's office, and he did not. And me and him had a good talk about that and some of the struggles and all those things. You know, there are going to be times that things is going to catch you just like that. See, it's one thing if you can plan to have charity, but it's another, boy, when you get put right on the spot, ain't it? Charity is a way that we live. It's not something that we put off or put on. It's the way we need to live. It's that fervent charity. Listen, he said it's not easily provoked. Said it thinks no evil. You know, sometimes we get easily provoked, don't we? Think about it for just a minute. Are you easily provoked? One fellow made this statement one time. He said, "Preacher, I've got my temper under control. I'm doing real good." He said, "I only lose my temper about once a year. I'm doing good." And here's what the preacher said. He said, "Would you like to live to a volcano right next to a volcano that only erupts once a year?" That's a good question, ain't it? Are you saying we shouldn't get angry and mad? I'm saying if you do get angry, you need to learn how to keep it under control. And I'm preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you. He said it's not easily provoked. Didn't say it wasn't provoked. He said it's just not easily provoked. Some people are easy to needle at, ain't they? Am I doing okay? All right. Boy, that's awful weak. Rejoices, thinks no evil. So we think no evil. So if we're not thinking evil, then we must be thinking right. But he said it thinks no evil. Charity does not think evil. We don't think about how we can get even with somebody. We don't think about how we can do them in. We don't think about how we can treat them wrong. We don't think about the sin that we can do. He said, charity, don't think evil. He said, but charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Does not make the sin. You know, some people rejoices in sin. And you say, well, preacher, if you look at the church at Corinth, that is one of the things they did. And Paul had to get on to them about that over there. Was it because of that fornication that was taking place? Was it in 1 Corinthians? Was it in 1 Corinthians 5? Is that it? Am I right? He said it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not much, not so much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned? He said, you're puffed up about this thing. He said, you've not mourned that sin. You're puffed up about it. He said, it rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Finds the truth. And then rejoices in it. Notice it said it bears all things. Charity bears up under the load, the tribulation, the trouble. Not only yours, but somebody else's. Go with me to Galatians 6. Go with me. I know what time it is. I know what my stomach's telling me too. Look with me in verse 6. Brethren, or verse 1, excuse me, chapter 6, verse 1. Brother Jeff, I'm pulling your tricks now, brother. Happens when you get close to 50, don't it? Chapter 6 and verse 1. We got to get lighthearted on this thing somehow. I'm telling you. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, looky there. What determines spirituality? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness. He said, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So you've got to put yourself in that boat and say, if I messed up, how would I want somebody to treat me? What would I want somebody to do to me or do for me or help me at or help me to fix this thing? But then look in verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So what did he say? He said charity in 1 Corinthians 13 said beareth all things. Charity just has to bear it under the load. Yours and somebody else's. You ever help somebody carry the load? You ever help somebody bear it under their load? That means you got to spend time and you got to spend energy. And you can't make it about you. Man, I mean, I've come in before and be tired and had things to do for the church and had things to study. But somebody needed some help, and that's just the way it is. You've got to go help. I'm talking about in here. I'm talking about people we're supposed to love. People that we're a family with. I mean, is this not your family? You know, I eat and live and breathe this church. I do. This is my life. Been my life for 22 years. That's my wife back there. I mean, this is my life. I mean, we ought to be able to get along, but not only get along, but we ought to have some love and action toward one another. He said, and by the way, I don't know nothing. He said, believeth all things. He said, charity just believes, trusts. Charity just trusts. He said, charity does what? Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Never loses hope. Holds out on hope. You ever give up on praying on a situation, on somebody? For somebody, they ain't going to get right. They ain't going to fix what's wrong. This situation right here, it can't be fixed. No, charity just keeps on hoping. Hopeth all things. Just keeps hoping. Preacher, you're living in a crazy world. Maybe, but I know what the book says. It says it hopes all things. And then it says it endures all things. Charity bears up under the load, but then it just hangs in there and endures. It just hangs on. It keeps doing what it's supposed to do. And he said, charity never fails. Charity never fails. Take your Bible and go to the book of Romans, chapter 12. I know this is a little different this morning than usual. Well, look at Romans 12. They could have waited till after lunch to mow the yard, couldn't they? Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. You know what that means? Hypocrisy. That's what that word dissimulation means. Hypocrisy. You're going to love somebody, let it be real. Let it be a real love. Don't tell somebody you love them and hate them. Now, don't tell somebody that you love them and stab them in the back. He said, let it be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. In other words, run away from it. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Well, ain't that something? He didn't say just prefer one another. He said in honor, prefer one another. He said, you think them better than you. He said, you honor them. Not soft on business. Fervent in spirit, there that word is. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. Well, we'll see about that tonight or maybe next Sunday. I don't know. We're going to have to pray. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them which do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. There it is. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much life in you, live peaceably with all men. Let me stop right here for just a second. He's talking about with each other. That's how we're to live with each other. That's how we're to act with each other. That, you know, when he talks about rejoicing in hope and patient in tribulation and continuing instant in prayer. And that's our life, how we're to live in front of folk and have in front of God. He talks about distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. You know, there's some people that ain't as well off as you are. There's some people that are saved that truly need help. They're saved. They just fell on hard times. Hard times do come to save people. Amen. I think we've all been there. Sometimes some people just need some help. And it's more than just putting an arm around them and saying, well, we're praying for you. I'm glad you're praying. He said, be of the same mind one toward another. Oh, let me back up. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. You know, sometimes we think it's easy to rejoice with people. And it's hard to weep with them when they weep. Sometimes it's just the other way around. If things ain't headed your way and going your way or going my way, I'll put myself in there. If it ain't going my way, it's hard to rejoice with some people sometimes. I went from the hospital one time it might have been when Miss Sarah had one of these kids right here. I went from the hospital of rejoicing with them and then had to turn around and go to a house where somebody had lost somebody. And so I had to do that. I had to go from a place of rejoicing to weeping within a matter of an hour. Sometimes that's a little hard to pull off. That's a little hard to do sometimes. You're excited. I just come from the hospital, just welcome one end of the world. That's an exciting thing. And then you go into a house where somebody has lost a loved one, and that is a sad thing. We rejoice with those that rejoice. And it ain't always about birth and dying. I get that. I'm just giving you that as an example. But let me come down here. He said, if it be possible, we'll have to move on because we're going to have to quit. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Then he says this, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So here he's not only talking about how we were to treat each other, but now he's talking about how to treat our enemies. And by the way, we should not have any enemies in the church house. I think sometimes we might, but we shouldn't. Now, let me show you something that is very funny right here that most people miss. Therefore, if thine enemy, your enemy, why would you have an enemy? Think about that for just a second. Why would you have an enemy? Why would you have somebody against you? You ever think about that? Well, they're against us because of what we believe. They're against us because of how we live. I'm talking about the world out here. He's talking about somebody that is against you and trying to do you harm. That's what he's talking about. But he says this, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him something to drink. That's hard to do, ain't it? You're talking about showing grace? That's grace. Hey, we got showed some stuff when we didn't deserve it. Christ Jesus the Lord showed us all kinds of stuff. And gave us all kinds of stuff. Showing grace. It has to start with charity. Peter said, let me finish Romans. He said, you'll heap coals of fire on their head. They can't stand it. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You come back over here to Peter. And above all things, having fervent charity among yourselves. You're going to start to show grace? Got to have charity. Got to have charity. Got to be that love in action that's hot and excited to do that. Let's pray this morning.